Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Pelota que queda muerta para Ferran, le pega Ferran. ¡Ay! ¡La sacó Rodri! ¡Oyarzabal! ¡Gol! ¡Y gol de Gavi! ¡Y gol, 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 gol! ¡Vuelven a pedir fuera de juego los noruegos!
En línea está hablando.
¡Marca Gavi!
Con Morata.
¡En línea! A ver, ¿lo anula, no lo anula?
¡Ay, Morata puede ser!
Morata está delante del portero.
Hello amigos, welcome to La Liga Lowdown. I'm your host Matt Clark. I'm joined by Señor Paco Pollitt. Spain have qualified for Euro 2024 after two wins in this international break. Good evening, Paco. How are you doing?
Very well. Obviously very happy for Spain's success in that qualifying for such a massive event as the Euro 2024. And I think that the way they have done it speaks pretty well about the change of pace in the managerial aspect of things. I think that Luis de la Fuente did have a tough challenge ahead of him when he was appointed. And, this point, if we were in high school, we would say that he has passed with flying colors, with plenty of games, with Spain keeping a clean sheet, being qualified with a couple of games to go. So, yeah, overall, quite happy for the way Spain have reacted in the last couple of games and these two consecutive wins during the international break.
Yeah, indeed. And it all kicked off in Seville at La Cartuja. And our man, Rory Barlow, was present in the stadium to see that game. And he sent us a voice note giving his thoughts on a game which was obviously very close to his heart, being a Scotsman living in Spain. Here's what he thought.
Spain, Scotland at La Cartuja in Sevilla. It's hard to know where to start with this one. Luis de la Fuente said before the match that he thought Spain were much better than when these two sides met at Hampden in Scotland. And he said that Scotland were better too, but the reverse result happened here. And to be honest, I saw a pretty similar game. If you ask me for the best part of an hour where exactly Spain's goal was coming from, where exactly they were going to win this game, I couldn't have really told you, because although they did create half chances and they did do some good things, Miquel Merino hit the inside of the post, he came very close and was perhaps unlucky not to give Spain the lead. Scotland were relatively comfortable defending this Spain side, and when McTominay's goal goes in, the game seemed like it swung one way, and for reasons that remain far from clear and obvious, it swung the other way. Emotionally, Spain took a massive boost from this, but more accurately, Scotland were not the same side after that. And I thought it was the Spain side that was revolutionised by Brian Tharagotha, who played very well. He was very creative, very daring, very bold, and he gave Scotland headaches. There were some good individual performances in there for the Spain side, but the use of the fullbacks, Dani Carvajal and Alejandro Balde, remained relatively flat in the first half, and then when they were replaced, it was still somewhat flat, it has to be said, from them. They were kind of around the same level as Rodri and being used to distribute this ball in as kind of safety latches for the Spain side as opposed to attacking threats. I thought they tried to move inside and create danger for a Scotland side that had patched the middle, really. And Ferran Torres, Alvaro Morata, Oyarzabal, they didn't have too much joy. And without a Pedri, without a Brian Zaragoza or even a Lamine Yamal or one of those kind of wingers that unbalances teams, that stretches teams, that causes defences to reshuffle and rethink. It's still Spain's side that you look at the way they've gone out of the last two World Cups against Morocco and Russia, both on penalties, both in 0-0 draws where they've been snuffed out. I don't see a Spain side that's necessarily cut out to beat that Morocco side any more than it was this time last year. I think Spain look more confident, they looked more coherent in defence, it has to be said. They were not caused as many problems by Scotland, who I think were less daring away from home, it has to be said as well. Steve Clarke is still just trying to touch on that balance between attack and defence against those big sides. But yeah, De La Fuente's been very clear to the media and very public about the fact that he doesn't really deal well with the media, that he doesn't, it's not part of his job. He's more of a football man, a training ground man. And clearly some of the Spain side do have a lot of faith in De La Fuente. But you also need a bit of charisma to be a manager, and you also need a bit about you, a bit of character. Maybe behind closed doors he is that different character. Maybe he is an entirely different person to what we see publicly. But I'm looking at the Spain side that were very much reliant on kind of the cult of personality of Luis Enrique before this. I don't see vast football improvements. In terms of De La Fuente, is this a guy that the Spain side will go a muerte to the death with? I'm not entirely sure. So I think we're still left with a Spain that have questions to answer, even if they did get the win, and De La Fuente won't be too disappointed with how this game turned out.
So there we go, that was Rory's thoughts on the Spain-Scotland game. 2-0 it finished. Of course, there was a lot of talk going into the game about the reverse fixture, the way that Scotland had trampled all over Spain at Hampden Park, and Rodri came out and made those comments which made the Scots laugh quite a lot about what they saw as him kind of, you know, crying and whinging about the tactics. So there was a lot of talk pre-game. Luis de la Fuente said, this is not about revenge, we just want to play a good match. And by and large, Spain did that, didn't they, Paco? But yeah, I mean, overall, they did play a good game.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, against Scotland, Spain had possibly the toughest nut to crack of the group. Especially for the way the Scottish were able to defend throughout the game, and if you check out the stats, you could see that the domination of the whole 90 minutes was in Spain's side. You know, 75% ball possession, plenty of shots on target, overall dominance for Spain. But you know, it was very, very tough to be able to slip through the cracks in the Scottish defense. I think that they had a very, very notable job being done at the back, and yeah, I think that Spain was expected to, you know, wing it in some sense during the second half, because during the first one their usual arguments didn't actually work, and that was the point when Jesus Navas started becoming relevant for the squad. You know, in the second half, Luis de la Fuente decided to switch a bit and leave a bit of more freedom for Jesus Navas, and in that, as a consequence, he had more chances of crossing the ball into the box, and that was actually the origin of the first goal for Morata. So overall, I think that De La Fuente has been able to show that regardless of the quality that Spain have in most of their positions, he also knows how to actually shift gears and shift the momentum of a game with tactical decisions. And you actually don't see that so often in during international breaks, because everyone knows that international squads often play in a more disjointed way because they don't have the chances to train together, to play together as much as most of the players have throughout the season with their own teams. So in that sense, I think that Spain were able to finally beat Scotland's defense with that Morata opener, and later Sanchez was in charge of scoring the second one. So overall, very, very tricky game to win, and we actually have to deliver, I would say, a bit more merit onto that win against Scotland, because it's, in my view, a much stronger enemy in this case, or opposition, than what we did see, for example, tonight against Norway.
Yes, we'll get on to the Norway game in part two. But back on the Scotland game, the game did turn on that controversial disallowed goal for Scott McTominay. Yeah. It was a free kick. It was a direct shot into the goal. John McGinn was kind of standing near Unai Simon. It was eventually disallowed. The referee went to the monitor. Hmm. It took a long time. We've had a lot of chat about VAR. And I know last week, Paco, we were talking about referees in La Liga, but on this one in particular, it was a very strange sequence of events. We were chatting in the group chat about what exactly has been this disallowed for. Is it a foul? Is it offside? We don't really know. At one point, the referee clearly puts his arm out horizontally as if to indicate a foul, whereas if it was offside, he would have raised his arm vertically. So in real time, it looked like he'd gone with a foul, which would have appeared to have been extremely soft. However, then we're told by UEFA that it was actually offside, in which case you can kind of make a case for that being the correct decision. But what was your take on it all?
Yeah, it seemed that it was Henry, like the player who was in that kind of offside position. But also, you know, you could argue that he was the one committing a foul. In my view, this referee, I believe the Turkish Mr. Gözübüyük, I believe it's the way it's spelled, I think it's faithful to what most European fan bases are thinking, that referees are under feeling the heat, deservedly so, in every single country. And it's not the first time that we speak about this. I think that the overall level, we've seen plenty of controversies lately in the Premier League, obviously with that Tottenham game a few weeks ago. And I stated last weekend that the overall level in La Liga might be the lowest of the low since this show is going on. You know, since 2018, in the last 5-6 years, this is the worst season so far, the first 9 games that I've seen, with, you know, mind-blowing ref calls, massive mistakes, wrong use of the VAR tool. And I think it's not a coincidence, you know. And in this case, it benefited Spain, obviously, but I cannot definitely understand Scottish fans complaining about this play, because in their book, it could be easily a legal goal. So, obviously Spain, as I said, were benefited by this call. But overall, this should take us into a larger debate, maybe, about the overall level of refereeing in UEFA competitions, especially as, and this is what I cannot understand, when you watch Champions League games, 95% of them are beautifully refereed. You know, like all of the controversies goes out of the window, and nothing really, happens that should be pointed out as massive mistakes. Whereas in home leagues and local leagues, you can definitely see, both in Britain and in Spain, in France, in Portugal, in Italy, in Germany, you see so big and undeserved calls happening that ultimately what they do is angering. Getting angry all of the fan bases and angering all of the football fans. And I think that overall the football authorities should take a deep look into it, because it's, as I said earlier, it's not a coincidence.
Yeah, Scotland fans pretty perplexed by that one, the commentary team on the UK coverage. And as I say, of course, Rory, he sent that voice note after a night's sleep. I don't think he sent one straight after the game. Otherwise, you would have detected a lot more anger in his voice there. So, yeah, as you say, that would have been 1-0 Scotland. It would have been very hard for Spain to kind of turn that around. Scotland would have had something to hold on to. But the fact that it kind of woke them up did change the game in the fact that they then raised their level. As you say, Jesus Navas came on to provide the assist for Alvaro Morata. Jesus Navas, the oldest player to provide an assist for Spain. Morata's goal-scoring form continues. And then Oyan Sanset on debut, rounding off the 2-0 victory to match that 2-0 at Hampden. So there were three debutants, Paco. There was Oyan Sanset, as we say. There was also Fran García and Brian Zaragoza, the first Granada player to play for Spain since 1974. How do you think they all did?
Well, in Fran García's case, I think it was quite the highlight, because so far he seems to have, I wouldn't say issues, but he's having a tough time trying to adapt to what Ancelotti asked from him in Real Madrid, which is, you know, if you consider how young he is, more or less you could predict it. But as Luis de la Fuente obviously knows him much better, or for a much longer time than Real Madrid's manager, he just slotted him straight in after the halftime. Whereas for Brian Zaragoza, I think that so far he has been one of the biggest highlights of La Liga in the first 9 games, and he often, you know, such a player often deserves this kind of spotlight in these games. And I actually listened to his words after the game, you know, in his flash interview, and he said that all of the veterans have helped him quite a lot, that Morata behaved like a father to him in the last few days during the earlier training sessions and so on. And I think that he was pretty okay during the second half, nothing really fancy, but just trying to get into the flow of what Luis de la Fuente is expecting from this squad. Remember that back in the day under Luis Enrique, these kind of players, who I think Jeremy Pino embodied quite well, because it was this kind of profile, very small, young, quick, electric player with the ability to score, you know, the ability to play in either one of the three, both flanks and the center of the attacking front. You know, these players often are going to perform well with the kind of play style that the Spanish national side wants to push forward. Under Luis Enrique, maybe it was a bit more exaggerated, like super offensive most of the time, pressing very high and so on. With Luis de la Fuente, I think that the team has become a bit more balanced, especially at the back, trying to always keep a clean sheet. And, you know, the additions of, you know, Lenormand, Laporte once again in top form, Balde the other day against Scotland, Carvajal. You know, I think that the top priority has become to be really strong, both at the back and the midfield, with Rodri acting as the, you know, balancing stone for the whole side. And to give a bit more freedom to these players, like, you know, Ferran, whenever he plays, he started against Scotland, he didn't start today. Brian Zaragoza, as you said earlier. And that, in that kind of balance, I think that Spain might become the biggest winner. You know, and this kind of consistency is much more noticeable with this team and with Luis de la Fuente than back in the day with Luis Enrique.
Mm, interesting stuff. Well, that was Thursday night, as Spain took a giant step towards qualification. They sealed the deal in Oslo on Sunday night, and we'll talk about that game and a little bit more after the break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown. I'm here with Paco Pollitt discussing Spain's qualification for Euro 2024. They haven't missed the tournament since 1992, so a really incredible record of qualification campaigns extended in Norway on Sunday night. And it was Gavi, the man, whose goal was cheered as loudly in Glasgow as it was in Madrid, because it was the goal that qualified both Spain and Scotland for the tournament. Level on points, those two nations. Remains to be seen who finishes top of the group, but that's for November. As it is, Gavi is the youngest ever player to reach five goals for Spain, and he's the first one to do it while still a teenager. So another great night for him, scoring the goal and getting a bit of extra rest so the Barca fans can breathe. This was a really impressive performance, Paco. As I say, I don't think Norway really offered too much. A bit disappointed with them, but a professional job from Spain.
Yeah, especially as whenever you have a team in front of you which plays Haaland and in front, it's always going to be a tough challenge. But overall, Spain's biggest job in this game was trying to keep him at bay. And I think in that sense, you can consider it a rousing success, because Haaland was very uncomfortable throughout the game. You could actually see his body language, his different hand waving gestures and everything. He wasn't feeling comfortable on the pitch, unlike what he often what he often lives every single weekend with his Manchester City teammates. But in this case, I think that the difference of level and of overall ability and skill between the Norwegian side and Spain was massive. If you leave Haaland aside and maybe Odegaard aside, we're talking about two big players when Spain has 8, 9, 10 very big players also in the squad. So the difference was there from the get-go, and I think that the game was a bit tricky also for Spain, not as tricky as the one against Scotland. But, there was a game-changing play very, very early. I believe it was in the 15th or 20th minute, when the hunger for scoring backfired against Morata, who scored, in some sort of weird deflection on a defender. The ball was, sliding into the Norway's goal, and Morata just wanted to tap it in and, secure one more goal in his count. And that tapping was what ultimately meant that the goal was disallowed for an offside possession. So it became quickly very massively viral in social media, with Spanish fans, yelling at Morata and ranting at his maybe selfishness, you could say. But I think that ultimately number nine has always to chase that kind of loose balls and take the advantage. And if they can score, obviously do it. So I wouldn't take so much of the blame into the player. And it was a simple matter of bad luck. But it's true that Morata spent like half of his game throughout in offside position. I would say that he's always plays so at the limit of the offside line that you know, he spends plenty of time throughout the game in that spot, and sometimes it really works for the team because it forces the opposition to have at least two players on top of him, marking him, being very close to his positions and whereabouts. But others, and in this case, it worked against him. It desperates the fan base, some of his teammates who cannot really, you know, pass deep the ball into the space because it's going to always be called an offside. So it wasn't really the best game for Morata, but ultimately didn't matter because in the second half, even though he was once again in nearby vicinity of the ultimately Gabi's goal, he couldn't, you know, he couldn't ruin Gabi's goal in this case. But yeah, Spain deserved to score. It took a long time. It had to be Gabi, who was very rowdy during the second half. You know, in these kind of games, when Spain are in a tight spot, when the you know the scoreline doesn't move, Gabi surely finds himself at home. You know, and he went down into the mud. You know, he spent his you know most of his plays battling Norway's midfield, you know, fighting for every ball, trying to get into attacking positions, and ultimately, you know, scoring the winning goal for Spain. And yeah, ultimately, one of the headlines I did see only a few minutes ago was that Gabi's goal wasn't just celebrated in, you know, most of Spanish territory. It was also celebrated by Real Madrid fans, which is way to go, as everyone knows that Real Madrid fans and Madridistas don't really like Gabi and appreciate him as a player. But yeah, Spain won. It was a tough win to achieve, especially as they did it away from home. But yeah, not very impressed with Norway's showcase and quite disappointed about, you know, Erling Haaland, which played to the best of his capabilities, but he didn't really have those many chances. I remember one when he got the ball, I believe, in the midfield and began running on his own against 3-4 Spanish defenders. And he was this close to finish the play, but ultimately it got deflected by the defense. But that would mostly be his highlight reel, a very, very short one tonight.
It was indeed. Yeah, Morata, Gunnar Morata. You said in the group chat the Morata hate train had left the station, but I said actually it was delayed because he was still offside.
Still offside, yeah.
I mean, yeah, the first one is just kind of a bit dopey from him, isn't it? He must have known that.
Or maybe he didn't, you know, because ultimately maybe. I understand number nines. That was one of the, I would say, the Cristiano Ronaldo syndrome, you know, of always trying to get the tap in because that's what they do. You know, you can't be called a proper number nine if you don't always try to get the goal to be in your score sheet, you know. And I think that whenever we see this, we always talk about the bloopers and, you know, the big mistake done by this or that player. But imagine that this ball was trickling into the goal. Morata didn't follow up. And suddenly a Norwegian defender appears from nowhere and saves the goal. And people would criticize Morata for not giving his 100% and trying to go to tap it in. So ultimately he did what it had to be done. It was unfortunate, but luckily for everyone, you know, everything ended up well at the end.
Yeah, he had another chance to score in the second half. He had a good run into the box and then chipped it, and it was just cleared off the line by the Norwegian defender. I do want to talk about the Gavi goal again, because it was a kind of pinball moment for a few seconds, lots of rebounds and ricochets. But that took a long time to be fully checked and awarded as well, because initially we thought Morata might have been offside, as we say. Ferran Torres takes a shot, it cannons off Morata, bounces back, and then Gavi has a couple of stabs at it and eventually puts it in. But yeah, it seemed to be that Morata was the one that was off with potentially a Norwegian defender playing him on. But then that would have been a much quicker check, you would have imagined. So we're wondering whether Gavi was also in the goalkeeper's eye line for one of the earlier shots too. And that's, again, when you think about some of the goals that have been awarded or not in the last few weeks, you think of Morata's two against Feyenoord. It's starting to become pretty confusing what offside is anymore.
Yeah, I think that it's so subjective, especially the issue that you talked about earlier about players interfering on the goalie's line of sight. It's so up to the single individual who has to take the decision, you know. It's up to the single referee in every single game, and the decision-making process is going to be absolutely different from one game to the next. And that's why people are confused. And in this case, you actually had two exactly identical plays in the same play, because the first one was, as you said, Gabi being like 1 meter away from the goalie in the first shot on target. And later, in Gabi's ultimate finish, Morata was like 2 meters away from the goalie too, but both of them, in both cases, they weren't interfering with the line of sight. And ultimately, this is the, you know, if you go by the book in this kind of place, you have to allow the goal. I totally understand why they had their doubts and why they had to, you know, check and recheck up to 100 times the goal in the TV screens. But yeah, as you said, I think it was 6 minutes of game stoppage while they were, you know, just checking out and becoming 100% positive that they were taking the correct call. So I actually appreciate the fact that they take their time whenever they take the proper and correct decision. What I can't understand is things that have happened in the last few weeks in La Liga, when players or specific calls take their time and 5, 6, 7 minutes of the game being stopped, and ultimately they get the wrong choice and the wrong call. That's why I can't understand, especially if they have all their single technology tools at their own toolbox. You know, they have the lines, they have all of the different shots, like up to 10, 12 different camera angles. They have everything. So just take their time, but take the proper call. Don't mess it up and get everyone angry.
Indeed, yes. We're just hoping for a little bit more consistency and understanding of exactly what is what with the rules. So, Spain win in Norway to seal their passage to Germany next year. Alfonso Pedraza also made his international debut in this game as well, making it 4 in the last couple of games for Luis de la Fuente's side. We do know the regular six that he likes to go with, of course. It's Unai Simon, Lenormand, Laporte, Rodri, Gavi and Morata. They seem to be the absolute spine of this Luis de la Fuente team. And then it's kind of 4 or 5 positions around them to start, which seem to interchange a little bit. But Paco, at this stage, obviously a year to go, but do you think Spain will be in contention in Germany?
I think that for the, you know, seriousness and consistency being shown in the last few games under Luis de la Fuente, I think Spain should be definitely in the mix. I don't know if we should call ourselves favorites, especially as whenever that happens, things tend to go south most of the time. But yeah, I think that in that group of, you know, 4, 5, 6 national sides being top contenders for the Euro 2024, Spain should definitely be in the mix, because at this point, as you said, more or less the biggest roles of the team are already filled with very reliable individuals. As you said, Unai Simon being De La Fuente's goalie, the Spanish-French or French-Spanish duets of center backs are very reliable, very strong. I think that their game tonight against Haaland was an absolute masterclass in defending. Rodri, who should definitely be a candidate for Ballon d'Or this season, I think, because he has won everything with Manchester City and he has been delivering absolute 10 out of 10 performances with Spain very, very consistently. Gavi, who is possibly the, you know, the kind of rowdy, unexpected, feisty, very fired up individual in every single game, and who doesn't really give a ball for lost, and also he has the ability to score. And yeah, as you said, Morata, in Spanish, we often say, there's a saying that rol opuesto por descarte, no? O nueve por descarte. Like, Morata is Spain's number 9 because there really isn't any other serious competition to his role. You can argue that José Lu is also there. Back in the day, you could argue that Borja Iglesias was also there, but he obviously isn't in the mix as he you know, gave up on the national team as long as the whole issues with the women's team aren't resolved. But there are so little... the number of players who can perform at a high level as a Spain's number nine is so little at this point that I totally understand what De La Fuente is doing, even though he knows quite a few other alternatives. As we have seen that, for example, Abel Ruiz, who was the captain on the under-21s, and he was a very, you know, trusty ally for De La Fuente during his stint as the under-21s manager. But at this point, Morata is the only one who can really play there with José Lu as the backup. And that can be an advantage, but also can be a disadvantage, as we have seen in past competitions or the past World Cup, when Spain, you know, ultimately met their demise because they didn't have the proper alternatives in front in order to finish all of the plays and all of the chances that they generated. So as long as we don't find Spain producing another top quality number nine, even for Morata haters and for people who are, you know, firmly on top of that Morata hate train, they will have to, you know, just give it up and try to support Morata and his teammates as much as they can.
Indeed. Well, a very successful international break for Spain as they seal qualification for the Euros. Rory and Roman will be back in midweek to preview match day 10 in La Liga as a couple of new coaches face their first matches. But in order to hear that, listeners, you will have to subscribe and upgrade. Yep. Paco, why should they do that?
They should do that because, first of all, it's the correct thing to do. You know, your psychology is telling you at this point that you should upgrade. You should upgrade. You, listen to my boss. You should upgrade. Upgrade your Substack. It's an absolute steal at this point. A fiver a month. You know, what more can you ask about? You know, you have the Midweek podcast. You have the all of the special reports being written up by our staff. You have the best content, the best quality content that you can find anywhere. So what are you thinking about? Just subscribe and upgrade to our Substack premium level.
What Paco said. Thank you very much for your thoughts. As ever, Paco, enjoy your week. And then La Liga is back. Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in and listening. And we'll speak to you again soon. Adios.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.